place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
I'm having trouble with my throat. Is that a problem on a radio show?
Maybe a little bit.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Welcome back.
Thanks. How'd Friday go? You did the show by yourself. I understand no one else showed up.
Excuse me.
You guys were all there?
Dave, the team was here.
Yeah.
The A team was here. They didn't have, you know, they had the... Not the A-team host, but they had the
No, I heard you did A-team. A great job. I mean, everybody was talking about it.
Oh.
Sea to shining sea.
How was your tournament?
Yeah,
did you win?
We're not a tournament. We just won.
Oh.
It's four high school buddies getting together to play golf.
Oh, I thought you were playing in an actual tourney.
No.
Well, still you compete. Come on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And heckle. Well, Pinehurst, North Carolina is beautiful. I highly recommend it for anyone who is sick with a golf fever.
Did you manage to go see my mother?
I did. We hung out all weekend.
Did she cook for you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. She made me. Here's the weird thing. She made me goulash. Czech goulash, which is weird. I didn't think that would be something she knew.
Never made that for me. She's picking up stuff.
We got along great. We hung out all weekend. Bocce ball. She's into that. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah. Lawn bowling. Yeah. Seemed odd.
Oh, man. I feel like I really missed out.
Yeah. I'll explain your mother to you at some other point. How is everybody? Everybody good? Steve, how are you? Excellent. Mary, how are you?
Steve. Oh, Grzanich is ill.
Yeah. Oh, he's out today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We got a Kleppen today, don't we?
Yes, we have a Kleppen.
All right. Don Kleppen will be in.
Yes.
All right.
Well, yeah, that sickness is going around, you know. Nick DiGilio had it. Dave Ennett had it. And Steve Grzanich has it.
Yeah, I'm not sick. It's just when you fly on an airplane, you catch everything everybody else has. So I got like some weird allergy thing going on.
It's that recirculated air.
Yeah.
It's mucaca.
I got the mucaca?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Anything but the mucaca.
Well, better than the Flemish.
Dr. Most will be on today, speaking of the mucaca. Is he coming in to give us flu shots?
He is. This week? On Friday.
On Friday, okay.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm not here. Doggone it.
Where are you on Friday?
Well, we have a certain little football game on Friday.
Huge game.
It's here.
Yeah, it is here.
So you're not here Friday morning for the show? That's a game is Friday night? Well, what do you have, calisthenics you have to do Friday morning?
What's going on? That's a lot of work.
And we have tickets to give away to the game today, Joe said to try to change the subject.
And Dave thanks him very much.
Well, seriously, why can't you do the show Friday morning?
What? Okay.
Steve,
really?
Am I missing something?
Well, you know what? Oh. He has been, I mean, even yesterday, he was even
sick.
Even yesterday, he was...
He's the hardest working man in show business.
Yeah,
I just don't understand the home game thing. You'll explain to me later off the air because something I've forgotten?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just do this. Let me apologize in advance for whatever it is I've forgotten.
Thank you.
And clear your throat. You have the mucaca.
NUSports.com.
You look like you got some sun, too, though.
Yeah, well, you're outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walked 500,000 steps in 3 days.
I'm proud of you. You look tan. You look rested. Well, you look like you partied.
I look rested.
Yeah, you look like you look like you went out and had a good time.
Problem is, when you have four or five Diet Cokes in a day, you'll be up till dawn. Joe and Vivian and well, everybody's fine then. I guess we can start the show.
Yes.
Why don't we do that then? This is something called the Top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't get your kicks. With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, Mayor Lori Lightfoot wants the Illinois General take that from the top in 3, 2, 1. Oh, this show's live? Mayor Lori Lightfoot wants the Illinois General Assembly to reduce the effective tax rate on a Chicago casino to 45%. Now, the city and state own the license and authorize a graduated transfer tax that would apply to commercial real estate. So I don't know what any of that means. Here's what I know. Do they have video poker? If they have video poker, I mean, I'll stop by.
I'm a roulette person. I love roulette.
Well, why don't you just... Here's the thing about roulette.
It requires
Why don't
skill?
You just drive by the casino and just throw $200 out the window?
But it's so fun to watch the ball
Waiting
go
for
around.
The ball. So if anybody can explain what Mayor Lightfoot wants to do about a casino, keep it to yourself. All I know is a casino's coming in. Do we know where, by the way? No location's been announced, right? I think they should have it like moving, like a pop-up casino. It just should move.
Oh, on the back of a giant turtle.
That's all I'm saying.
I know Madison wants one. Madison, whatever they call it. Everybody calls it something different.
Madison. Isn't it Madison? M-A-T-T-E-S-O-N?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Some call it Madison. Some call it Madison. It's a lot of different names. Yeah. They might be getting one, too. But anyway.
This show is flying so far, don't you think? A former Panera Bread employee apparently paid a stiff price for appearing in a video showing the chain's popular macaroni and cheese is prepackaged and frozen. What? This short video, which has amassed more than 6 million views, shows a plastic packet of frozen mac and cheese dropped into boiling water, cut open, and poured into a bowl. Do the people that own Panera Bread actually think that some incredible secret has gotten out?
Yeah, I mean, it's mac and cheese.
Not only is it mac and cheese, that's how you make mac and cheese.
Right.
And secondarily, it's mac and cheese. I mean, so when you combine those two, I don't quite know. I mean, I get you're not supposed to reveal. Look, if I told you about some of the crap that goes on here, all of our stuff is boiled.
That's right.
I don't get it. Just don't put everything on video, idiots.
I mean, are you concerned that people are going to realize that maybe it's the nutritional benefits you were thinking you were getting aren't there?
What is some chef in
freshly made mac and cheese?
Banana bread.
But when you go to the grocery store and you buy the fancy mac and cheese that you don't want to boil and make yourself from scratch, it's frozen. It's that frozen kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Stouffer's, what's up?
Yeah.
Next. A federal judge ruled that a Virginia law requiring couples to reveal their race in applying for a marriage license is unconstitutional. The lawsuit against the Virginia State Register and others was filed after three couples said they were denied marriage licenses in state after they refused to check a box disclosing the race on their applications. There is a fair and unfair stereotype about the South. I was just, your home state. I was just there. And I lived in South Carolina, and I lived in Florida. Well, Florida's really a northern state that just ended up in the South. But point of all of this being, there's a fair and sometimes unfair cliche that the South is racist. There are racist people in the South the same way there are racist people in the North. The problem is, when something like this happens in Virginia, Virginia's like the doorway to, as Jeff Foxworthy might call it, the big house. Virginia is right there on the doorstep of the South. And there are certainly backwards-thinking, prejudicial parts of Virginia, as there are in other places. There's a bunch of racists in Illinois. Let's grow up and be honest here. But the fact that they were trying to keep people from marrying.
Yeah. I mean, didn't we solve this with Loving versus Virginia? Like, didn't this already, the Supreme Court already decided?
Well, stop it. I think that's the summation here. The lesson from this is stop it. That's your top three of the top six. We will continue with the top six in just a second. We continue with the top six at six. Next up is this. Tonight's a presidential debate. Democrats getting together. I think is it ABC tonight? I think it's ABC. 12 Democrats will be on stage, which means each of the candidates will get 13 seconds to say what they would do if they were actually running the country. That's tonight. Item number five, Donald Trump has decided in a very busy world to tweet out what matters overnight into this morning. He would like you all to vote for Sean Spicer, who's a good guy. That's Trump talking about that. Meanwhile, if you need information on Syria, Google it. And then finally this, after a long extended period of time, your souvenirs from Prague are in.
Yes. What? Wow.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. So, Dave, you're handy. I'm going to, or as in handy, I mean you're right here.
Yes. I'm kind of handy.
I'm going to start with this. If you're watching on the stream, this would probably work out better for you. This is a shirt, and I hope it's the right size. It says, Praha Drinking Team, Czech Republica. And the Praha is Prague. You probably figured that part out.
Yeah.
Česká is Czech. And Republica is Republica. And this is a T-shirt that you can wear for that makes you part of the Prague drinking team. And I'd like you to wear this Friday night when you're at the Northwestern Ohio State game.
Is it purple?
No.
Yes.
Oh, well, then.
Thank you. Thanks, right, Steve. It's a medium. It's made by Fruit of the Loom. All the way from Prague.
Fruit of the Czech.
Very impressive.
Now, this is for Steve Grzanich, who's not here, but, you know, how much longer could I extend this souvenir?
Got his goulash, huh?
I did not get his goulash, but he likes to cook. And I got him this beautiful... What is this called?
An apron?
An apron with a picture of the castle and the Charles Bridge.
Oh, nice.
The ancient bridge of Prague.
Wow, that is great.
That
he is going to really, really like
Isn't that
a
nice?
Lot.
That.
Yeah. Could I switch... Could I switch mine for
not a chance? And I think
it's like white elephant swap or whatever.
Gift. And I think the colors here are good. And Steve, because they're on his wheel, Mm-hmm. You know when he has colors.
You know his colors.
Yeah.
What a great coworker you are.
I really am.
To pay attention enough to know what someone's colors are.
And you know, Joe, as you know, I was going to get you Hawks World Games. What do they call it? The NHL Meets the World. What was that thing they call the World?
The Global Series.
That's the one. Yeah. I was going to get you Hawks gear from Prague, but the NHL screwed up and they ran out.
Stupid NHL.
So I'm handing you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to give you $100 from my wallet, and you can just go buy something.
No, that's not necessary.
So anyway, I'm going to get you some Hawks stuff. Now for the ladies, they all demanded
Monster win last
the
night.
Best part.
They all demanded. Yeah, well, that's true. And the Hawks did win last night. They all demanded. They didn't ask. They demanded garnets.
We were teasing.
Garnets. Here's the problem with getting garnets.
Here we go.
When you go around to garnet places, a lot of them are fraudulent, as the guy who runs the tour told us. So he tells us how to identify the good ones and the bad ones. The problem is all of the stuff that features the giant garnets, well, it's kind of boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife stuff. It's a little awkward for me to come back with rings.
Agreed.
And necklaces and various things.
I already have a garnet ring. See my garnet ring? I do.
Oh, well, then you don't need your gift.
No. The only reason
I
why
need
the garnet
to go with it.
The only reason why the garnet thing came up was because Vera told us that.
And because you guys are selfish.
And we don't care if they're fake.
Yeah. I don't know if they're fake or not. These are beautiful garnet stones, flaming red, I'm told, even though I'm colorblind. And each of you get a pack of your own garnets.
What? Oh, my goodness.
These are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Mary, yours are in here. And also, I felt like I shouldn't just pick on Dave for boozing it up because I know what lushes you people are.
Yeah,
I have. Not you, them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are.
I have samples of Beer Cosmetics.
Oh.
Beer-laced hand cream and beer shampoo. I have a package of each of those
great.
For you. These are actually homemade.
Cool.
Homemade in Czechoslovakia.
Will I smell like beer?
That's not my problem.
Will I smell like I just came straight to work from a bar?
But you could tell that these are presents for you because they have the girl ribbon on them.
Aww.
So the ribbon was tied.
So sweet.
So there's three
Thank
of those.
Thank you.
Good job, Steve.
Steve,
Thanks.
You're so thoughtful.
I really am. And then Joe.
Poor Joe.
Joe, since I don't have your present yet, I did get you because I was connecting through London. I got you a double-decker British bus on a keychain.
What's up?
Huh?
Thank you.
All right. So, if you could just... Oh, there's Joe's. Right? There's Joe's little double-decker bus on a keychain.
Did you bring him candy from the plane? No pretzels?
I brought you a bag of Cheez-Its from Delta Flight 62.
Those are my favorite.
Oh, Dave, actually, there's one more thing in here for you, Dave.
Oh, what's this. That?
It's a beer mug keychain.
Oh, yeah, very nice. You Thank you. I needed
yeah, I don't know why all this drinking stuff
my
beer mug
keychain.
All right, so wasn't that worth a two-week wait to get those souvenirs?
It sure was.
Absolutely.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome, Joe.
Sitting ovation.
Right. It's 6:27. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not on a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smiles.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We have a Kid of the Week first today. We have an expert on moss. Yeah. Helena Martinez is here. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Thank you for coming in.
I'm glad to be here.
And you are 14 years old?
I am.
Yes. You're very mature for your age already. Oh. I can tell.
Thanks.
And we need a moss expert on this show. Dave, how many times have I said this to you? When are we going to get a moss expert?
If you've said it once, you've said it 1,000 times.
That's all I'm talking about. You're a freshman at Evanston?
I am.
Yeah? What do you think you want to do with your life?
Something...
And keep in mind your mom's in the room.
Oof, yeah. So, something in STEM, something in art, just something really fulfilling.
You know what I love to hear about that? Because we talk about empowering girls on this show and opportunities for women. Your generation is not going to have, I hope, these sort of separate conversations that we have to have now. Like, wouldn't it be great if we could empower girls? Wouldn't it be great if we offered more entrepreneurial opportunities for women? I have so much optimism for your generation that the playing field is going to be level enough where these conversations can stop. I would hope you feel good about that.
For sure. Definitely, like, in STEM programs that I've participated in, it's really nice to not have a place where you need to worry about, I don't know, like the different obstacles that are in your life, I guess.
Right, right. Because girls should have the exact same opportunities as boys. It's an idiotic statement to make, but it's true.
For sure.
All right, so let's talk about... I'm all choked up about my own statement.
I want to know about this moss. Like, what did you create? How did you come up with this idea to create a new type of moss?
So basically, I was going into the botanic garden with my grandma, and I was looking at a wall. Oh, and it had art on it, and it was like a painting of nature. And I was like, okay, what if you could actually paint nature? And so I was looking up on Pinterest, and I saw people were using moss to like cover in like side cracks and stuff. And so I was like, okay, what if we turn that into a new way to do murals? And I saw people who were like gluing moss on walls and stuff. But I was like, what if we could actually like integrate STEM in that? People could like bring it into classrooms and then just like paint a little.
So it's an art medium.
Yeah.
It's like paint. It's like pencils or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You would mix my mixture with water and like local moss and then just paint it on walls. And
the cool thing
she's a genius.
Yeah. And the cool thing is.
You're too smart for this show.
I think you're saying that the moss is still alive. Is it alive or is part of it alive?
So I get like live moss from my backyard and like from between cracks, and then I like blend it because moss doesn't have roots,
mm-hmm.
and so you can just apply it to walls.
Steve, did you know that moss does not have roots?
I didn't know that. I'm learning a lot here.
Me too.
As I do each weekend, Kid of the Week. The exciting thing about this is you're having these sort of big picture ideas at 14. Imagine what you can do to change the world. I don't put all the pressure on you.
I know, right? A lot to do.
But it's very cool. Have you sort of always had a scientific mind like this?
I guess since I was really little, I used to like to take apart like pens and stuff, and then I would.
Oh, you like to see how stuff is made?
Yeah, for sure.
Take Dave apart. See what's inside him,
or not.
There's something called the Winnetka Idea Tank. What is that about?
So basically, like over the summer. I got to participate in this really cool thing where I got to come up with an idea over the summer, basically plan how I wanted it to work. Then I got to propose it to a bunch of like judges.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the opportunity to win $250 to kind of help with my project.
And so it's like a Shark Tank for Winnetka kids, kind of?
Yeah, basically. But I'm from Evanston, so didn't really know a lot of people.
Yeah, well, that's all right. There's no war anymore. Dave, didn't you help solve the Evanston-Winnetka Civil War?
Yes, I did. I was pleased to do that. Weren't those Scootney guys? They were from the Winnetka Idea Tank.
Were they the same?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. A cool program.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All right, so are your friends into this?
I mean, I have like a I feel like I have a good friend group at school, and then I have, like, my STEM friends who I'll see, like, about, like, once a month to work on programs.
The STEM kids, are they considered nerds? I mean, are they, you know, because nerds rule the world. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, for sure, because I definitely have, like, friends who are on the cheer team and also are really into STEM, or you can be into football, really into STEM.
But nerds shouldn't be a bad thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nerds are just smart people.
Yeah, just another group of really smart people who own you. and yes, G.
And I love that you were inspired by the Chicago Botanic Garden, that you were hanging out with Grandma, and that's who you were with when you got inspired. But are you going to be heading back to the Botanic Garden?
This is a very
garden?
Unique circumstance. Our officer...
Sorry about that.
All right, Clep, come on, man. Clep, get on it, baby.
Are you going to be heading back to get some advice from them? And
well, I already did during last... we had an off day. And so basically, I went over to the Botanic Garden and saw one of their senior horticulturalists who helped me harvest moss in the English garden.
It's unbelievable. You're very impressive.
Well, thanks.
And let me tell you something. I can tell from your mom, she's very supportive, so you must have a wonderful family. But there will always be people in your life that don't entirely get your vision. Keep your passion about these things. And if you believe in something, go for it.
Of course. Thank you.
Yeah. It's really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
You're going
to
do big things in life.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I look forward to going to your moss paint store in a few years and redoing my entire house in moss.
Doing it all from Home Depot, right?
Right. No, forget about Home Depot, unless you get a deal. But it's very, very cool. Who do you want to say hi to this morning? I mean, I'm talking about teachers, friends, grandparents. We've got till 10. Take your time.
She's very organized. I love her. Yeah, she has a book. She has everything written out.
Okay.
So basically, I want to say, like, thank you to all... the Northwestern mentors, they were really awesome in showing me that, like, minorities can also be a really big, important part of the STEM community.
But, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you have a very interesting background.
Yeah, I'm Mexican-Ukrainian, so that's an interesting mix.
Right? Yeah, it's very great. But it's a lovely look, you know, so I don't know what holidays you celebrate, but it's a very interesting mix, yes.
Yeah, having two Christmases, really beneficial.
Really great food. I mean, you've hit the food jackpot for
right.
sure.
All right, so continue. I interrupted you.
Thank you to Idea Tank. Thank you to the entire EvanSTEM team. You guys really helped me out in the last 3 years, just getting me really interested in the community. Thanks to all my science teachers, librarians I've had over the years. Shout out to Dawes Elementary School. You guys really got me integrated into the STEM kind of universe. Thank you to everyone at the Chicago Botanic Garden. You guys are incredible. And thanks for all the hard work you guys do.
And very encouraging, obviously, as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And, yeah.
And thanks to your mom for bringing you here.
Oh, yeah, for waking her up early.
Yeah, so you have to go to school now, huh?
I do.
Any tests or anything today?
I think I just have some biology homework I need to finish up, so.
All right, so let me just write you a note here. Dear Helena's teachers, she's amazing. Give her whatever she wants. How's that? Does that work for her now?
Yeah, that's perfect. Do you need an A?
congratulations on your success already, and please stay in touch. And when you become a big, big star in the STEM world, or whatever world you choose, I hope you'll be back here. The only person you forgot to thank is really a thing. You forgot to thank Moss. Thank you, Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
And we continue on the Steve Cochran Show. So I just got back from a weekend with, and I recommend this for everybody. If you have friends that you've lost touch with, try to get together with them once a year. You know, people live in, people, life happens, people move on to different places. So I have a couple of cousins that I grew up with, and we've been close our entire life.
And this was in upstate New York?
This is upstate New York, right. And my best friend from high school has managed hotels all over the country. He's in Birmingham now. He rents a couple of big hotels there. So the four of us are all golf nuts. So we met in Pinehurst this weekend. And hung out, and then Maureen came down for a day.
Nice.
And then a friend of ours, another lady friend of ours from high school, came down as well. So it's nothing but laughs, because it's stuff that only you guys know, right? So you have that group of people that you share memories with from that era in your life, and we just laughed till we cried. It was tons of fun.
A lot of memories and nostalgia and reminiscing.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny? You kind of don't talk about you now. You talk about then.
Absolutely.
And that's what we did at my 40th anniversary, or my reunion, my high school reunion, too. We just laughed about these goofy little memories.
Yeah, Dave, you know this. It's people that have a shared time in your life with you that you don't see very often. And maybe that makes it even more special. But 18, you know, being 18 years old, I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but I mean, it feels like it was 10 minutes ago. Not physically, by the way. Mentally, it feels like it was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but they knew you before you were doing what you do now.
Yeah.
They knew maybe what your dreams and aspirations were at the time. And, you know, you have that kind of shared bond.
Well, the big laugh was that I was the designated driver to everybody. So these guys were talking about, you know, various parties that we were all at.
And that hasn't changed.
And I was the booze Uber, you know, before there was one. So, who needs a safe trip home? I'll be the one to drive you. I'm Steve.
Did it make you reflective? Did it make you think about how far you've come and what you've accomplished since those days?
No, everybody's you know, had fortunate, good lives.
That's great. Yeah. So there's not one person that's sort of not had their goals accomplished.
Oh, we mock some of them. Sure. I mean,
they
look, you put four dudes together that grew up together, there's going to be some bee busting going on.
Do you find that each of you plays a sort of role? Like, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I suppose. Everybody's funny, and that makes it fun. My friend Steve Miller, who runs these hotels, he's just fall down funny. I mean, he just makes me cry.
Is there a leader of the pack? You know, because it's kind of like that's. There's always
no. Hmm. No. You know, a lot of times that's fallen on me in the past, but because I was the sober one. And I'm not saying that in a righteous sort of way.
No, you're not.
I just chose not.
It just wasn't for you.
I chose not to drink, not to take drugs. I was goofy enough. And back in the day, you know, prior to cell phones and the internet, it was tough to be the Uber guy. You know, people had a tough time finding. So they would throw up a light in the sky, and the light in the sky would be of a bottle of booze. And I would follow that light and then find them and drive them
home. I was wondering what the symbol was going to be.
But you forget a lot of stuff. Mary, I'm sure you went through this at your reunion. You forget a lot of stuff that other people remember, so they fill in gaps.
I was just going to say, was there one thing that somebody reminded you about and you completely forgot about
Sure.
it, or that you never even, or you put it out of your mind?
This girl, Terry, she told me that I wrote the sweetest thing in her yearbook. I don't have a freaking clue what I wrote. I have no idea.
Did you have a crush on her?
Yeah, when I was a kid, sure, absolutely.
Did she bring it out? Oh, here it is, by the way.
No, we were laughing about that. It would be funny. You know, it's funny. I go back and look at the yearbooks, and the pictures are hysterical because we thought we looked cool. But reading the inscriptions and things that people sign, I'm not as amused by that. I'm sort of touched by that at times and also sort of uncomfortable by it. Because there's some really personal stuff that people write in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of your senior year, you think, well, there's a group of people I'm never not going to talk to. It's never going to change. But then there's a group of people, you know, I'm not going to see these people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a fabulous time. And my whole point of bringing it up, except for the yucks, is to tell you that if you have an opportunity to get together with old friends, don't waste time. Don't say, I'll do it someday. Just go do it. Because it's a good time.
And it can feel very daunting, especially after a certain amount of time has passed, but really they're thrilled to have you reached out. It just takes that one person to reach out and then sort of things fall into place. But initially it can feel a little overwhelming because so much time has passed.
Well, I had a blast in high school. I mean, you know, everybody's high school experience is not the same, but I had a little rough situation at home, so high school was my escape. So I loved the school, loved going to school, played a little ball.
You were the mayor of high school.
Well, as Maureen has pointed out, you know, you don't do anything different than you did in high school. It's just you didn't get paid for it then.
It's glad that you found where your skill set really could flourish. You know.
Oh, I don't think I have a skill set. I think this is what I do. This is it. Everybody maybe has a certain thing that they do. I just happen to find a way to make money doing this, at least for now.
But see, that in and of itself is... I think very forward thinking and almost.
I don't know forward thinking. I think I'm blessed. Yeah. I mean, this radio station, this legendary, incredible radio station, this is the last great talk radio station in America. I mean, that's a responsibility and that's a very cool thing. And as I've said many times, to be sitting in the same morning show chair, not literally, but symbolically, that Wally and Bob Collins and Spike Odell sat in. I mean, that's pretty special stuff. You don't want to screw that up. And I only occasionally do.
You're a natural born gifted talker.
And a big mouth, as my father used to do. But no, I think we got a great group of people working together. Dave and I have been friends forever. I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're my friend now, Jisuki.
Yes.
And I love what you brought to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Really
do. Thanks for having me.
And I've had a lot of people work with me and for me for years. I have not seen as positive a response for a new person on the show like I've seen for you.
I think
forever.
I'm grateful for the opportunity.
I love Joe. Vivian.
Who doesn't?
Vivian is the most positive human being mm-hmm. on the planet. Vivian could watch a car crash and she'd go, oh, look how the paint matches. You two have shared paint. Oh, isn't that sweet? Exchange numbers. Have a party. Mary and I go back forever, even though she doesn't age and I do.
And we are the same age.
And then Grzanich, who decided to not come in today.
And he's missing all this, you know, wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kleppen's my new guy, the Kleppster.
What's up?
All right, 6:57. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Mr. Kleppen, filling in for Mr. Grzanich, will come up here in a couple of minutes. Is it my turn? Okay. I should pay attention to my own show. Coming up on this show in just a few moments, a special edition of Dr. Kevin Most. Doc was on yesterday, be on today. Chicago Fire's Jesse Spencer on the program today. And Dean later, of course, with Moron Entertainment. And also later, the new food at Northwestern. With Daniel Braverman's coming in, bringing some food, I think. So all that coming up. But now it's news time.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most, join us in just a second, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And then later this week, he will be in to give us flu shots, as he does each year. There is one particularly nasty strain of the flu, which the flu experts, the flu people, as they call them, are concerned about. So would you like to talk to Dr. Most about the flu?
I would like to.
Let's go to Dr. Kevin Most right now. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. I'm just back from one of your favorite places in the world, Pinehurst, North Carolina.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, and Doc, you know this because we're old golf friends and golf buddies and golf nuts. There's few places that completely live up to and beyond your expectations. If you love golf, or if you just love a relaxing, beautiful little town, I mean, I couldn't recommend Pinehurst more. They're just lovely people, and we got phenomenal weather, so we got lucky. But man, what a great place to play golf.
Yeah, it is a great place to play golf, but you're also right. You know, just a quaint little village, very nice people. It's, we're pretty spoiled, those of us who get down there quite often.
So, a couple people to thank in regards to that, but I'll do that at the end, because let's talk about the flu. All right, yeah. So how bad off are we?
Well, we don't know yet, because really it is just starting now. But if we look at what's happened in the Southern Hemisphere, as we've talked to, you know, recently, this could be a very nasty flu season. We normally will pick our flu vaccine in early February. Because of how bad it was in the Southern Hemisphere, that got pushed back. So some of the flu vaccine delivery has been a little delayed. We're not running out by any means, but we're certainly seeing a little bit of a delay. But this is one year. Don't mess around with it. The type A that we're seeing, that we saw in the Southern Hemisphere, could be a very, very nasty bug this year.
So that's the strain that's concerning people.
Yes, the H3N2 strain, which is the one that, you know, when we get influenza, sometimes it just stays up in our head and our throat, and we get a little bit of a cough. The H3N2, the type A, that one happens to like the lungs and causes more pneumonia. So individuals who are young, young children, as well as seniors, those are the ones where this can be extremely dangerous.
All right, so let's go to a couple of the obvious things here. Who gets the flu shot? Who doesn't?
Yeah, you know, pretty much everybody gets the flu shot, and anybody over the age of 6 months should be getting a flu shot. Pregnant women and those who are planning on being pregnant should definitely get a flu shot, as we'll talk about here in a little bit. But really, there's no reasons not to get a flu shot at this time.
Does the flu shot cause the flu?
It does not.
What? No, yeah. Seriously?
It doesn't, and that's one
so
of the biggest frustrations.
Right?
Yep, it is so frustrating. You cannot get influenza from the flu shot. The vaccine is made up of dead portions of viruses, so it's not a live vaccine. That being said, the flu mist is a live vaccine, but it's what we call attenuated, so it can't cause you to get the symptoms. So you cannot get influenza from the shot.
All right, so is there any question that comes up again and again and again, other than the ones we've already thrown out about the flu, that you need to clear up right now?
No, you know, that people say, well, you know what, it's not effective. And assuredly, it is not an ideal 100% effective vaccine. But I can assure you, if you have had influenza, true influenza, you will never miss getting the flu shot again. 10 days of high fevers, muscle, body aches, feeling miserable, not being able to go to work, discomfort of getting a flu shot is nothing compared to what you'll have when you have full-blown influenza.
All right. So we can talk more about the flu on Friday when you're in.
Yeah.
But is there anybody on staff right now that has a question about the flu?
Well, I mean, Dave has not been feeling well. Is it okay for somebody that's actually not feeling well?
That's a great question.
To get the flu shot?
Yeah, gee, it is a good question. A lot of people will say, well, should I wait? And really, it depends on how sick you are. If Dave's not feeling well, that's one thing. If Dave has 102 fever and a bad infection, often we'll say, you know what? Your immune system's fighting something right now. Let's not try to confuse it. Let's wait a couple weeks. But really, for the most people that might have a little bit of a cold, it's no problem to still get the vaccine at this time.
Okay, but not if you have a fever, like Steve Grzanich is at home with a fever.
Yeah, if I was Steve Grzanich, I'd say, you know what, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to get the vaccine here, you know, whenever this clears up.
Got it.
Dave.
Well, I had asked my doctor about the shingles shot. Just getting a little bit off track here, but they'd said that there was actually a shortage of that vaccine also. Is that the case?
Yeah. What's happening, I think, is the awareness of shingles has gone up as much as it has. So there is a new vaccine out for shingles. So everybody wants the new vaccine, which makes a little bit of a shortage because of the run on it. But it's still, this is one that you definitely want to get. Again, if anybody, and Dave, you've had it, so you
yes,
know
I have,
how it feels.
Yeah.
So you know the discomfort that you can have there. So the new vaccine is definitely one that there might be a little bit of a run on. It will come back. It's not as important in the timing of that as it is for influenza, but anybody really over the age of 50 or 60, excuse me, should be getting this vaccine.
Is it still a two-parter, the shingles shot?
Well, it's given one shot in the doctor's office right now, the new one.
Oh,
so,
good. One shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the cost used to be pretty high. Has that come down at all? Do you know, Doc?
I don't know. You know, for the vast majority, it's covered by your insurance.
Okay.
You know, most insurance companies want you to get the vaccine. So,
well, as you've said many times, it's one of those you can pay me now or pay me later, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So
and Mary, I'm sorry, I misspoke. So it is two shots for the shingles vaccine.
Okay.
The importance of the second shot is the booster. That is important. Sorry.
How does that work?
I was thinking about influenza when I was answering your question.
Sorry. So you get it and you have to wait in the parking lot, then you come back in? I mean, how does that work?
No. You wait. You postpone it a couple of weeks and then you get it. For individuals who have never had influenza, so children who have never had influenza, they get two shots as well. But everyone else gets one shot for influenza.
All right. Again, more on vaccines and the flu and stuff later. Yeah. I've got about 47 topics I want to hit you with in the next segment. You cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on.
Stand by for that. It's the great Dr. Kevin Most. More with Dr. Kevin Most. Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit for better health care. And then Pam and Michael, hold on if you can. If you can't, I'll ask your question of Dr. Most as we get near the end here. All right, Doc, here's the rapid-fire topics of the morning. Diabetes and its impact on weight loss.
Yeah, so diabetes, it's interesting. You know, we have an epidemic of type 2 diabetes. As we see the increase in obesity in this country, we also see this large increase in type 2 diabetes. And what a study that came out last week found is that individuals who are diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, if they, in their first 2 years, can lose 10% of that weight, the diabetes can often go into remission. So people often, you know, their weight runs up, and then it's like, well, I can't lose 80 pounds, 100 pounds. There's no way I'm going to lose that, and they almost give up. Where we said to them, wait a second, if you could lose 32 pounds and your diabetes went away and you didn't have to take those medications and it protected your heart, your lungs, and your kidney, now patients are motivated, and this study just really drove that home to say 10% weight weight loss can knock out your diabetes in many cases. So that should be real incentive for people to set an easy goal and hit that goal.
I know a friend that did exactly that and lost a little more than 10%, but the diabetes type 2 went into remission. It's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, 6 minutes of walking a day is important. Is this as important as our 10,000 steps?
Well, in seniors, what we're finding out right now in a study that came out last week showed that, you know, forget about looking at your watch and how many steps we've made and did you get to 10,000 steps. For seniors, we found that if you take a 6-minute walk, and at the pace that the higher the pace, the better for you, whatever you can do, that you're going to start to see that you have higher energy, you have less fatigue, you have less anxiety and less mental fatigue. So they looked at this study and said, it's a timing of 6 minutes, and that will really motivate you for the rest of the day as well. So it's that 6-minute walk at least. A good 10-minute walk is great, but you're going to find a big health impact just by doing that. So the individual says, I can't walk 10,000 steps today. I'm not even going to go walk. No, get out and walk 6 to 10 minutes at a good pace, and you're going to see the benefit from that.
Raise your hand if you're a woman and you'd like to hear men take more responsibility for how they behave if they want to have a baby. Oh, Doc, tell us about this one.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. So this is another study that came out last week that showed that men really need to be careful about what their social interactions are prior to pregnancy. So we know that the impact of alcohol can have on babies, congenital heart defects. So we know that men who drink prior to helping conceive will have a higher impact of congenital heart disease if they drink for the 6 months prior. So okay. We really tell people, stop drinking 6 months prior if you know you're going to conceive to decrease your chance of a possibility of a heart defect.
So this means that pot and alcohol's effect on the swimmers, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
They swim into the sides of the walls and things and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is important because guys don't think it's a big deal.
Serious.
Correct.
Though, not casual drinking, like, you know, a couple beers.
Nope. One beer could make your swimmers go the wrong way.
Because this is going to cause anxiety among many young men, I have a feeling.
It really will, Mary. And it's kind of interesting when the study came out, because two studies came out last week. One was on alcohol and one was on marijuana. And the marijuana one showed that individuals who use marijuana once a week, men who use marijuana once a week, will have increased cause of miscarriages in a fairly substantial increase. So if you're thinking about conceiving, you might want to lay off the marijuana prior to that. The alcohol one is a little bit more interesting, where they tell women they shouldn't drink for up to a year before, and men for 6 months. So, and again, it's to decrease the chance of congenital heart disease, which we have 40,000 of each year, and 1.35 million people living with congenital heart disease right now.
Let's go to the phone here. And what is it, Guy?
Yeah. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Doctor.
Hey.
Quick question. You mentioned about going out for a 6 to 10 minute walk. What is the equivalent, if there is one, to using a stationary bike to do the same thing and get the same effect on the body?
Well, that's a great question.
It is a great question. And people that walk on a treadmill or use a stationary bike, actually, the stationary bike, you can actually get your heart rate up a little bit quicker. So I would, again, say that 10 minutes on a stationary bike is going to be what's for seniors is going to be great for them. And two things there. One, as we start to get into the winter, seniors are going to say, I can't get out and walk. So the ability, if they do have a stationary bike there, they can change the tension of it to increase their pace if they can't keep the pace up. So it's a very good question. And at 10 minutes, and I would say 15 minutes would be outstanding for people. If they feel like I can't do that half hour or 45 minutes, we know that even the 10 minutes will make a big impact.
Pam's on the phone. What's your question, Pam?
Hi, I have a question. Yes, thanks. I had chicken pox as an adult. Can I still get the shingles vaccine or no?
Yes, you can. Yep. So we all have, almost all of us have had chicken pox, if you, depending on how old you were. You know, many of us had it as a child, and then if you didn't and you got exposed, you get it as an adult. What happens, we find out, is that the body doesn't really remember that chicken pox virus that well, and so the virus actually lives in our body. So it stays dormant in our cell, in our nerves, until an opportunity to pop out. So when that pops out, you want the immune system ready for it. So the shingles vaccine is great. So anybody who's had chicken pox, the virus is living in your body somewhere. It's living in a nerve. It's just not multiplying, and it's looking for an opportunity. And the shingles vaccine will protect the body from that virus reactivating and growing rapidly.
All right, Michael, super short on time here. What's your question, my friend?
Yeah, I have a question for the doctor. I had open heart surgery in 09. Now, can I still get a flu shot if I have a heart condition?
No, that's a good question.
Absolutely, 100%. Anybody who's had open heart surgery, anybody who is immunocompromised, anybody who has had a chronic illness, diabetes, heart disease, you guys are the ones that we really want to make sure, because your body can't handle the stress of influenza as well. So if you've had open heart surgery, if you've had valve replacement, if you've had any surgical heart surgery, you definitely want to make sure you get a vaccine.
I got a bunch of texters with flu questions. We'll do these on Friday when you're in. And then somebody who didn't hear our earlier conversation says, no flu shot for me. I don't want to get myself sick on purpose. The vaccine doesn't make you sick. What makes you sick is rumors on the internet and your friends telling you not to get the flu shot because it'll make you sick.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way. Doc, we'll see you Friday.
Sounds good. You guys take care.
And I want to thank in particular Alex Podlegar from Pinehurst, a great host there, and Peter DeYoung. What a good guy Peter DeYoung is. Close personal friend of Doc's, former tournament director at the Western Open. And Peter is a Pinehurst resident, and it couldn't be nicer, and he helped set some stuff up for us as well. We're coming back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This, of course, being the theme from Chicago Fire, you got your Chicago PD, your Chicago Med, and Chicago Fire. You know who stars in Chicago Fire? Jesse Spencer. Jesse Spencer was a big star on an Australian soap opera called Neighbors.
Ah.
And he came over here, and he's a big star on House, which is, to my mind, one of the great hours of television that's ever been done. House as a series was really tremendous. And he plays Lieutenant Captain Matthew Casey on Chicago Fire. Let's see if he sounds Aussie to you and me. Good morning, Lieutenant Captain.
it's actually Captain now.
I know, but I thought I'd get you with the Lieutenant because I didn't know if you were pompous enough to assume the fake promotion.
I sure am. I am the Captain now.
So let's go with the obvious. How do you develop an American accent when you're an Australian actor? Do you have to work with the language coaches, the dialect people?
Yeah, we sure do. We've got this dialect coach called Tanner and Marshall. And, you basically, I sort of liken it to going to the gym, basically. You sort of do like a lot of different exercises, and you work up different muscles, and you have to learn how to, you know, replicate it and then let it go and then just do it naturally. Once you put the character's clothes on and you step onto the set, it's more automatic now than it used to be. But
and it's a workout.
Just listen. Yeah, it's a workout. Yeah, it's something you do the preparation beforehand, and then you try to forget about it when you're on set because you don't want to be thinking about something like that.
You got a great cast and a great group of actors you work with. The writing's terrific. Don't tell the other guys, by the way, Jesse. You and I go way back now, 3 minutes. But don't tell the other guys. Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire is my favorite.
I won't tell anybody.
No. And Chicago PD and Chicago PD and Chicago Med are fine, but I just think you guys crush it every week.
Thanks, Matt. Well, our one's kind of I like our show because we can do a little bit of lighter you know, stuff in the show. We can do, you know, we have these sort of, you know, funny, quirky storylines as well. So it's not all drama. I mean, drama's, you know, the backdrop of the show, the mortality and the life and the death, but we can also, you know, put some, you know, some of the funny in there, which is also, I think, really good for the audience.
Well, there's a reality to firefighters that goes like this. In a hospital, you're going all day. In a police department, you're running around all the time.
Right.
The firemen have a lot of downtime in between incredibly stressful, high-pressure times. So it makes sense that you would have alternate storylines. That's the way life should work.
Exactly. Right, yeah, because the big joke is that they sit around all day. So we get a bit of that in there, which is always great. Now, cast is, I mean, vivacious and hilarious. I mean, we just do that all day anyway, so it kind of, it just fits in perfectly with the firehouse.
Jesse, how does this differ for you compared to having your run on House and Neighbors?
Well, House was a very cerebral show, and it was a great show. I mean, basically, we were on set, you know, the whole time for 8 years. There was barely any location whatsoever. It was all, most of it was set in the hospital. So this one, you know, in Chicago, we're out, you know, in Chicago a lot and all throughout the winter, you know, outside with these incidents. And we set up these massive incidents every week. And they're all different. And, you know, it takes a whole team to pull these things off. And it's just sort of bigger in terms of, you know, the production and the production value. Like in this crossover we've got coming up, we actually blocked off. It's sort of like an epidemic takes off in Chicago, and you know, and citizens get really scared. And so, at one point, they blocked off LaSalle on a Sunday morning, so we could have like an empty city, sort of like a 28 days later sort of scenario. And they had a drone, and we were walking down LaSalle, and it was just so eerie. You know, just walking down there. So big things like that, especially for this crossover, you know, are awesome. So it's kind of like it's basically a 3-hour movie. It's the biggest crossover we've ever done. But, you know, all three shows are really, you know, dispersed through the other shows. And, these big sort of events that we, you know, that we pull off are really, really fun. We even tailgated too at the start. You know, for like a Bears-Packers game.
Nice. Nice.
Which is quite fun because I always want to, you know, I want to see these characters, you know, out and about, you know, going to hockey games or, you know, other stuff like that.
The real life stuff.
In occasionally. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, now
we got that in at the start.
This thing is a big hit at a time where network TV is always searching for something that works. And it's not a reality show. It's a scripted drama. They're expensive to do. But Dick Wolf can pretty much say, I want this and I want it now. You're in a good spot here. How long are you going to ride this out?
I don't know. I mean, to be fair, even though it was Dick Wolf who started the show, I was thinking, you know, a firefighting show, they don't normally last. So, you know, maybe a year and then we'll be done. And we just went from strength to strength. So, I like long-term projects. I like, you know, getting to know the cast and crew very well and being in one place. So this is perfect for me. I really like it. And I really like Chicago, you know, except for the winters. But whatever, it makes it fun for shooting. Shooting's real fun. And I was looking around at these, you know, these guys were, you know, working construction jobs out there. And
They're out there
every day in that. And I'm like, well, if they can do it, I mean, what do they have that I don't have? Probably maybe better clothing. I don't know.
No, and dude, you're Aussie. You can't whine. You're not entitled to whine. You're an Aussie man.
I come from a desert environment.
Yes.
At this, we have no water. I'd never seen ice before I came to Chicago.
See, you could freeze that? We didn't know that.
So, Jesse, at this point, do you feel like you would be good in an emergency situation? Have you picked up enough?
You know, it's funny you say that, because each week one of the cast members is randomly drawn to start a fire that they have to put out. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, you feel good enough that you could handle something if an emergency happened.
I reckon the major thing I think I've learned is that people panic. People aren't good at staying calm, and I think the main thing is to not rush in, because firemen tend to, like, when they come in, you have to assess the situation. You can't, because you know if you send people in, you could kill them. So you've got to stay calm and be able to assess the situation. Now, whether I could actually do that in a life or death situation, who knows? Because you don't know until you experience it, right?
Yeah, but it'd be very embarrassing if there was, like, an emergency and Jesse Spencer's running out going, help!
And I screwed up. Help! Oh, my God!
Right.
Actually, I did have the fireman come over to my apartment about a year ago, because I was cooking steak, and there was too much fat in the grill, and the smoke went everywhere. And the firemen did turn up, but they didn't. When they came in, I was like, "Oh God, I can't. This is terrible. I've got to run down and make them. This is the most embarrassing thing in my life." But I went down there, and they went, "Oh no, we didn't come for you. There's smoke on like the first floor," and I'm like much higher than that in the building. And I was like, "Do you think smoke can travel down?" They're like, "No." And I'm like, "Okay, great." I'm like, "Don't tell anyone about this."
Yeah, don't tell anyone to ask that question. Here's the thing. I know a lot of Chicago firemen who love the show, and that to me would be the best compliment you could get.
Actually, it is. And I think they also watch, because their mates are on the show, because we have actual firemen. Yeah, Tony Ferraris drives the squad. So he comes straight from the firehouse to the set, which is hilarious enough as it is. And then a bunch of the background artists, they're all real medics and firemen and stuff, which is great. And especially when we're doing incidents and, we have to, take a car apart or, get someone out. They're always on hand if we're stuffing it up.
By the way, take a car apart is Aussie for we have to get a car off a victim that's going to kill them. Yes, take a car apart. By the way, if your dialect coach sees you again soon, have him or her teach you how to say overbite air.
What, your D's and D's?
Oh, yeah, D's, 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 overbite air. Love to see you working it.
I'll pass it on.
All right, Lieutenant, or is it Captain? I forget. Is it Captain?
Captain,
sorry. All right, Captain, I appreciate your time. We're big fans, and come by and see us sometime, because I know you love this town, and we're here.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, buddy, take care. That's Jesse Spencer. He's old, by the way. He's 40.
That's not old.
Have you seen him?
He looks great. He looks 40 is the
very
new 30.
Handsome.
What the hell? 40 is the
hey,
new.
Hey, let me just speak for Jesse on this. My eyes are up here. It's 7:52, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. Your Shepard Smith got fired at Fox. Did you guys talk about that on here?
No, but I don't think he did.
He
left, right?
He stepped down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know what? I stepped down a few times too. Yeah, I remember when I had that meeting and I was told I was stepping down.
The one in the bathroom?
Oh, pick one. Pick a city, pick a meeting. But Shepard Smith was one of two of the last Mohicans on Fox that weren't doing right-leaning opinion shows, in some cases right-falling-over opinion shows. So now Brett Baer's the last guy doing news there.
It was... If you watch John Oliver, he puts together Last Week Tonight on HBO.
Yeah, very funny
he
show.
Has put together several montages of Shepard Smith saying how much he loves that show, True Blood. It's not on HBO anymore, but it's hilarious. You just got to look up Shepard Smith and True Blood.
Shepard is a character. And I say that in a good and a bad way. But he's a good newsman. He's always a good newsman. And he was trying to actually do news at a time where that's not welcomed.
There was once he signed off in the montage, "I'm just a little catfish." I don't know why. I always laugh when I think about
that. He's an old school Southerner.
Yeah.
You know, living in New York. Anyway, he'll be fine. He's very well known, and he'll turn up on, I would assume, MSNBC or CNN, if not one of the networks, is whenever he wants to. And maybe he did leave on his own, but I'm thinking maybe they said this isn't working out because Fox had to pay a lot of money for him to leave. And then on a completely separate topic, look, maybe it's just me. I don't know why this is funny, but people were laughing.
What?
Loved ones at a funeral of, a jolly old Irishman, the funeral for Shea Bradley, were shocked, then delighted when they heard the voice of their late friend calling out from the coffin. And he said, hello, let me out. This was at Mr. Bradley's funeral. The pre-recorded message continued, where am I? Let me out. It's dark in here. Is that the priest I can hear? This is Shea. I'm in the box right in front of you. I'm dead. Everybody laughed. Oh, how they laughed.
Wow. You know, that would only be... I was once invited to an Irish wake on the south side, and I was prepared. I wore black. I thought it was going to be really somber. It turned out to be 70 people drinking and eating and partying, and it was the most incredible get-together. One of the best I've ever been to, and it was a wake, but it's,
an Irish wake is a euphemism for who wants to have some fun.
It was awesome, and family flew in from Ireland, and it was impressive.
Listen, it's great that his family and his friends love him, and they got it. But, can you imagine the two or three people
that
who
didn't
showed
get
up
it?
At the services?
Yeah, like if I was there.
And were loosely acquainted and didn't really understand.
Yeah, I would have been like, what?
So, if you're planning on a stunt for a funeral, top that. It's 6:50. Nobody gets 7:56. We have Northwestern Ohio State tickets coming up. I'll tell you how you can win them in a bit on 720 WGN. All right, it's the Steve Cochran Show. And as I said, coming up next hour, Dean Richards. And Dean will be here to do what we call moron entertainment. He's live in New York City today. Is that accurate? Or is he back? Do we know?
I thought he was back.
Okay, he was in New York the other day.
Yeah, because yesterday he was filling in for
Annabelle Vall
around
yes.
town, so he was back.
Yeah,
so
he was back at the museum, yeah.
Okay. And then, you were telling me Sarah Wood is coming in?
Yes.
Or coming on the phone, at least?
Absolutely, yeah. She is a breast cancer survivor, and this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and just thought it would be good to check in.
And help wherever you can. And then Daniel Bannerman will be on. Daniel's coming in studio. Dave, who is Daniel to you?
As I understand it, he is the man responsible for the food they serve at Ryan Field during Northwestern football games for Levy Restaurants.
And do you actually eat during the game?
No, you know I don't.
He never eats.
Whoa. Okay, don't get snappy.
You leave for a couple of days, this is what happens.
I don't change that drastically.
I don't.
I'm busy up there.
Don't you know me, Steve Cochran?
Wouldn't you love to hear him doing a Northwestern game with a sandwich in his mouth?
I don't think that's happening.
All right, so that's all coming up. Steve Ruzanich is out with the flu, the sickness, the fever. He's got the fever.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night.
Entertainment returns and live from New York. Yeah, he actually is in New York. It's Dean Richards. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, and let me tell you the glamorous spot where I'm broadcasting this morning in New York City. I am in a hotel stairwell.
Why?
Sitting in a hotel.
Why?
Stairwell. Right now, because the area where I would normally be, to talk to you, the area where we get ready to do the interviews, there's so much noise and so much setup. Super noisy. There's a bunch of 20-year-olds, looking at their phones, confused.
Sure.
Not sure about what's going on. So I'm trying to find someplace quiet. It's like I'm going to go sit in the hall in the stairwell. So I'm in the floor 9 emergency stairwell. in a very well-known New York hotel.
Can you get out? I mean, you know, do you know that the door is open once you're in?
I did check to make sure that I didn't get locked in here, yes.
Because that would be embarrassing. Why are you in New York?
Paul Rudd has a new Netflix series that's going to be coming out starting on Friday called Living With Yourself. It's mostly a comedy, but not a ha-ha comedy. It's kind of an odd, irreverent story about this guy is kind of depressed with his whole life, his job, his marriage, everything. And somebody tells him, you got to go to the spa. They'll make you feel 1,000% better. And he goes to the spa. And what he discovers when he leaves the spa is that he has been cloned. They clone him and create a better version of himself. Normally, they dispose of the depressed guy, they just kill him, the bad version, and send the good version back. So yeah, he feels better. It's a new person, but in this case, something went wrong, and now there are two versions of the Paul Rudd character. One is, you know, depressed and miserable, and one's super positive and super happy. And it's pretty funny. It's an 8-episode series. I watched it, and I enjoyed it. And I always enjoy talking with Paul Rudd.
He's a good dude.
One of the super nice guys, yeah. So I'm looking forward to today.
And I like the fact that he's so self-deprecating. He's really good at making fun of himself.
Completely. Yeah, completely. There's one scene in this movie where when they think that they've murdered the bad version of himself, they bury him in a shallow grave. And they actually did bury Paul Rudd in the shallow grave in the opening scene of the series.
Oh, that would freak me out.
Right, exactly. And that's the first thing that I'm going to talk to him about today. Because he was actually in the ground, buried in a plastic bag, no less.
And my God.
They shot it, so that's the many things we'll talk about today. What's it like? Maybe that could be your text question tomorrow. What's it like being buried in a shallow grave in a plastic bag?
Yeah, seventh caller that's been buried alive. Give us a call right now. At 8:13, Dean's in New York, which means he's not here. And what you're missing this morning on your own Channel 9 is the annual dress-up party leading up to Halloween, where Adam out of out! And Paul Conrad lead a band of idiots to a local costume shop, and they just spend the entire morning dressing up in costumes.
Right, fantasy costumes out of Milwaukee Avenue. It's one of the most popular annual things that we do every year. And I know, Paul likes nothing more than changing his clothes and being in his underwear most of the morning in front of the rest of the cast. I'm not sure about Anna, but I know Paul enjoys it quite a bit.
It's the other thing I enjoy about television. The producers for Channel 9 will run this tape into the ground for the next 6 months. It'll be like Groundhog's Day, and they'll be showing you dress-up time from Halloween. But, you know, good for them.
Yeah, you know, you got to provide content somehow.
All right, is there show business news we'll get to when we come back? Is there anything happening in show business today?
There's a pretty big story going on in New York this morning regarding Cuba Gooding Jr. I can tell you about it when we come back if you want.
Yes, I would like that. And also, if anybody tries to take those stairs, I'd like you to make them uncomfortable by saying, this is where I live, get out.
I do like the way it makes my voice sound.
Very, very echoey, reverbery. That
hello,
type of thing.
Hello, hello.
All right, coming back, more with Dean live from a stairwell. And you thought show business wasn't glamorous. Ha! I say.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean live in New York. You know, Dean, I was flying back from North Carolina last night from Raleigh. And they had a bit of a problem with the speaker system, so this is what I heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be landing shortly in Chicago.
And a woman was literally 4 feet from me.
Right.
So I don't know what was going on in the back of the plane, but I don't know. Without the PA situation working, how do you know when you put your tray tables in its upright and locked position? It's one of the great questions of life.
I've had that happen where the either they're not speaking loudly into the microphone or, you know, whatever is going on, and you can't understand a word that they're saying, or, you know, how the captain sometimes whispers
right
when he's telling you who he is and what your altitude is.
Well, here's my impression of every captain on every plane. If you look out the right side of the plane, we're going to be flying over Cleveland. Yeah, stay off it. But the woman, the lead flight attendant, she was very impressive. She was multitasking. She was doing a drink cart thing, and I could see her. The rest of the plane couldn't. And this is while she's talking into the 1937 phone system they have on the plane that serves as their PA. And she was doing it all by memory. But while she's multitasking, she could have said something like, please pay attention to the flight attendants as they point out the sprite, the exits, you know, as she goes along. So, flight attendants work their butts off.
That's a hard job. That's a very, very hard job. I would not want to do that. I have a lot of admiration. Not to mention, we've talked about this before, some of the jerks that are on planes, they're incredibly rude people to the flight attendants and to others. And they got to keep their cool, keep all the passengers calm, you know, when really they want to put a swizzle stick in some of their eyes.
I haven't heard the word swizzle stick in a long time. It gives me great joy.
I'm going to try to work that into my conversation with Paul Rudd today somehow. When you hear the phrase swizzle stick in my interview, call in to win.
Oh, that'd be great. Cuba Gooding Jr., who had such a bright start to his career with Jerry Maguire and then, for whatever reason, lost a bet and picked nothing but bad movies after that. Cuba Gooding Jr. is in a lot of trouble, isn't he?
Yeah, he was about 6 months ago, 6-9 months ago, allegations about a sexual assault and groping took place, and the trial was about to begin in Los Angeles. And yesterday, another woman has come forward and filed some new charges, new allegations against him. So everything in Los Angeles is on hold while the allegations are processed. And he goes through the whole process for another case now that's going to be taking place here in the New York area. He's had no comment, but it's the story gets worse and worse for Cuba Gooding Jr.
You know, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s father, Cuba Gooding Sr., was part of the, I can't think of the group's name, but they had a hit with
The Main Ingredient.
Yeah, everybody plays a fool.
That was just a lucky guess on my part, by the way.
Everybody plays the fool sometime.
Yeah, that should be the theme song for More on Entertainment. Everybody plays a fool.
No kidding.
He was the lead singer for that.
All right, so.
But not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though. The nominee is for the next class, the class of 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, were announced this morning, and I'm talking on the phone where I would normally cheat and read the names off of the list, but just from memory, nominated Nine Inch Nails, Whitney Houston, and Notorious B.I.G. also nominated, among some others as well. But the nominations, if you're interested in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the nominations came out this morning.
And Notorious B.I.G., that's the same family as Notorious M.E.D.I.U.M.?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And one size larger than the Notorious S.M.A.L.L.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The other entertainment news of the morning, anything popping?
What else is going on this morning? No, not really. It's a fairly quiet morning. We are looking forward to talking with Paul Rudd today for his new Netflix movie. We'll have that on WGN-TV, and I'll play, if he's entertaining, I'll play some clips on your show later in the week. If he's not so entertaining, this will be the last that you hear from him.
Yeah, you'll shut him down. You'll end his career.
Yeah, we just when the interviews go south, they get lost in the luggage.
Which, by the way, is the phrase that pays. If I say lost in the luggage between now and 10, be a big winner. I got a couple stories I want to run by you.
Oh, good.
Pharrell Williams. I love Pharrell. Is Pharrell a good dude? I've never interviewed him.
I interviewed him one time. He's extremely shy and very, very, very withdrawn.
Pharrell Williams says the controversy surrounding Blurred Lines made him realize some of his songs catered to a sexist culture, and he's embarrassed by it.
You know, honestly, it took that to make you realize there was some sexist stuff going on in music?
Right. Well, Blurred Lines was that song that is virtually identical to the old Marvin Gaye song, I Got to Give It Up. There was a lawsuit, and was it Robin Thicke? Yeah, Robin Thicke, yeah. Alan Thicke's son, Robin Thicke. He was sued because he was one of the co-writers of the song, and so was Pharrell. He was also involved in that. So, you know, I guess a multi-million-dollar lawsuit might shake you up a little bit and make you realize that maybe you ought to think a little more before you put words down on paper. Not to mention completely copy someone's orchestration. You know, they say it was a tribute to him, but the jury's disagreed.
The sexual part of the video includes three very attractive women, one African-American, one Caucasian, and one supermodel, which is an ethnicity. And she's gone on to have one of the big supermodel careers, and I wish I could think of her name. I just remember that she was naked in the video. Because I had to look at it, Dean. It's research.
Right. Yeah, we have a responsibility as journalists to be up on things that are going on in case they come up in conversation. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Emily Ratajkowski. I think it's Emily
Ratatouille.
Ratajkowski.
Oh. Emily Ratatouille from the Disney film. Emily Ratajkowski. That's it. Exactly right. Yes.
Hey, speaking of lawsuit news. I've already started this. You were out of town, but I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me on this, that we need to sue John Leguizamo. He has a show that's going to be coming to Chicago that, unfortunately for him, is called Latin History for Morons.
What?
Now, anybody knows that we hold the patent to the word moron.
Right. Not only hold the patent, we hold the behavior.
Exactly. We not only have the legal access to it, but we walk the walk every day in our actions. And you can't just come along and start a show that contains the word morons and not pay through the nose to us.
No, we are taking him to court. We are absolutely. One thing you missed, because I'm sure you were traveling when this happened before, on the way to New York last night. And Mary Vandeveld is standing by as our special correspondent on this. Sean Spicer was on Dancing with the Stars last night and inexplicably has advanced to another week. And he was dressed like, Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, he was dressed like Woody from Toy Story.
Yes, boots and all.
Good Lord.
My nephew Logan would love that.
Yeah. He didn't have the puffy shirt thing he had on in one of the episodes. Oh, man. But, yeah, nobody got booted off last night because it was Disney night, so they have to be nice to everyone.
I would love to see everyone that's left the Trump administration dress as a Toy Story character going forward because that's their best hope for work.
Who would be Mr. Potato Head?
Boy, that's a tough call. Because right now, Mr. Potato Head's still in the White House. we'll have to get back to you on that. All right, so when you talk to Paul Rudd today, you'll call me later, you'll let me know what's happening, and you tell Paul I said hello.
That's going to be the first thing that I say when I sit down. I'm going to say, hey, moron. Morons, Chicago, say hello to you.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we'll look for the report, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
All right, that's Dean Richards, live from a stairwell in New York. You know, you kids in show business, you got to realize sometimes you got to adapt to your surroundings.
And it's glamorous.
Totally glamorous. Hey, guess what? It's 8:30. Time for this. The news. am I back? I am. I'm back right now. Well, hi. How are you? It's the Steve Cochran Show at 8:38 as we continue. And Sarah Wood is standing by to join us. Sarah Wood has a very high-profile life and a very busy life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carrie Wood Foundation is raising a bunch of money. Sarah and Carrie Wood Foundation. Notice I put Sarah first.
Absolutely.
Is raising a bunch of money all the time. But life sometimes brings you amazing speed bumps. Bumps yes. in the road that are serious things. And Sarah Wood is here to join us to tell us to remember it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hi, Sarah.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How's the family?
They're wonderful. Oh, busy. I've got we've got 13, 11, and 9, so we are always running. It's a lot of fun.
So who is the designated driver to everything? Does that fall on you or Woody or who has to do that?
Well, right now it's Carrie. She's doing the run right now. But, you know, we split it. It's with three kids, we're outnumbered, so we're constantly going in different directions. So he does a lot around the house. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, you got to go. You know, listen, you got to go zone defense once you have three. It's no longer man to man or woman to man.
No, not anymore. No.
So all right. So you're nice enough to talk about your own health scare to help people think they're, you know, more than not alone in this. So what do you want people to know?
I love about October, it's an opportunity for those, well, this really isn't in their life. Breast cancer isn't a part of their life, but they're starting to see pink around. They're starting to see advertisements on TV, and it's their chance to really kind of look at their own life and if this is something that they'd like to go in and get checked for. I myself did not have a big history of breast cancer in my family. My mother had ovarian when I was 26, and because of that, I wanted to go in and just check myself fully in other areas. And they found breast cancer when I was 37. And if you listen to, you know, what doctors are saying or what the American Cancer Society is saying, they're saying that 45 is the age. So I think it's, if October can remind us of something, it can remind us that we should not only check our health and assess our risk, but also, you know, not wait.
I think that's when October comes around. I always think about your story, Sarah, and the beautiful article that you wrote back in 2016 in Chicago Splash, where you were talking about your story and really opening up. And I think that's what struck me, that you really had a sense of urgency and you were vigilant about your own health. And had you not been, you don't know what the outcome of your story would have been. And I think that's the message that you are really prolific in terms of sharing with people.
Oh, thank you. It's you know, it's at the time when it was happening to me, I didn't think, you know, you're just kind of thinking survival. You're not really thinking of how this can be used. And when I did this story and worked with Susanna and the girls at Splash and putting something together, you realize that by sharing, you know, there could be more stories like me. And you know, I worry all the time. It doesn't take away worry. You are surviving. But when it's caught early, you have an opportunity to live a full life and help yourself. And by really trusting your gut, I think a lot of our, maybe our parents' generation, my mother would say, you know, he's a doctor. He knows. And that generation really trusted what doctors said. But now as we're getting a little you know, we're questioning, we're asking more questions. We're seeing cancers at different ages, where my age at 37 wasn't so radical. I mean, it's happening more often. So I think that if we really start to ask questions at those appointments and say, you know what, I want to go with my gut on this and pay attention to how we're feeling and our concerns.
You know, we know family history is a major indicator in breast cancer, almost more than any other type of cancer. But what we also know is not just 37-year-olds. We're seeing this for women in their 20s now as well. What do you want young women to know?
You know, I think about my girls. I have two girls. And I think about, you know, when we will start doing that with them. And it's a hard time because you see it. It's 1 in 8 women, and it's something that we do need to pay attention to. We do need to investigate what in our lives we can do to help minimize that. And Bright Pink does a great job. They have a website called assessyourrisk.org, and it's a great way to go on and really look at family history, look at, you know, everything that you've done personally, and really look at what your risk could be for breast cancer. And I think that's a fantastic tool for those that are just thinking about it, or for those that want to look at their genetics. I have friends that have found out later in life that they are BRCA positive. They have, you know, this gene has gone through their family. So it's something where, looking at genetic testing or assessing your risk through assessyourrisk.org, ways that even at a young age, you can really be mindful of what has happened in your family or what could be happening for you, and to be able to follow that.
So you were diagnosed in February of 2015, and then you decided to really be aggressive in your treatment. Now that it's been, you know, over, you know, 4 years, are you glad that you were as aggressive as you were, and do you recommend that for other women that may be facing this journey?
That's a great question. For me personally, and it's hard. I've met a lot of women that I've talked with since I was diagnosed, where a full bilateral mastectomy was not a good fit for them. It's a really big thing to look at and know that that's in your future, and it's about a year of your life that you're kind of rehabbing and getting yourself back. Putting yourself back together again, so to speak. But I think for me, being the fact that I was 37, and the fact that by doing that procedure, I minimize my risk even further. So the more that you're doing to be proactive, the more that you're doing to reduce that risk. And I wanted to lay in bed at night and know that I did every single thing possible to be a wife and mother for my kids for many, many years.
And Sarah, I was just reading, this is Mary in traffic, I was just reading about Beyonce's dad who was just diagnosed with breast cancer.
Isn't that, I mean, I'm so proud of him for saying that, because that is something in itself that we just don't know for men, and it's something where maybe if your mother or grandmother, you had breast cancer in your family, it's something that men should be looking at, and I commend him for coming out publicly about that. That's, we really don't have a face to that, so I'm very impressed that he made the decision to do that.
Yeah, and the BRCA gene can pass through men as well, so
you bet.
They have to be checked as well.
Self-examination, still the first line of defense here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's something that you don't have to wait till your next appointment. I think self-examinations, I think paying attention to changes, in between children or throughout your life, just even in between appointments, I think self-examination is something that we should be doing. And calling in to, get in for your yearly appointments, ultrasounding, there's so many ways that we can be proactive in our care. And if you don't have a doctor that's willing to go that road with you, find another one. There are many doctors that can be a part of that journey with you and help you with your concern and help you with the procedures and proactive measures that you want to take.
Last word, G.
I love that you're reminding everyone that they have to be their own health advocate, and you are such a role model for so many people, but also incredible job. Congratulations. I also saw that you graduated from Northwestern this year, too, so way to go.
Thank you. Finally did it. It was amazing. I think I was the only one with kids, waving purple pom-poms in the stands, but it was amazing. It was great.
I was talking to Dave Bennett. We're going to need you Friday night against Ohio State.
They're big. That's right. Bad. You got to be there now, Sarah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you like the wide-out spot, maybe a little slot-back action, but we're going to need you on the field.
Definitely going to the Iowa one. In 2 weeks.
Oh,
okay.
Well, you can go to any game you want. I'm talking about playing, Sarah. Yeah. I'm talking about you out there.
She is incredibly fit and athletic.
Right, and beautiful. Nice distraction for the boys, and then you never know what kind of plays we could pull off that way.
So. Oh, my goodness. That's great. Go Cats.
All right, give out that Woody Foundation website, too.
WSFPitchin.org. We are always looking for mentors, and please follow what we're doing. We are expanding throughout the city, so please come join us on that as well.
Thank you, Sarah. You're always welcome here. You know that.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, 8:50 now, the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 1,466 in 385 days until Election Day 2020.
Wow, that countdown is scary.
All right, here's what we need now. If you want to go to see the Fighting Cats from Northwestern beat Ohio State on Friday night. Yeah, that's right, I said it. Beat Ohio State on Friday night. You be the seventh caller now, and I'll allow you to play a brand new game of Sweeping the Nation.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Ohio trivia game.
You can barely say it.
It really has swept the nation.
Really has. It swept the nation so much I haven't even finished thinking of what it's called yet.
What about how to play it?
Stump Ohio. No, that's not right. Name that Ohio. No, that's not
what
right
about
either.
Stump Dave Ennett. You could never do that.
No.
Well, I got it. How about this? Ohio Fact or Fiction. John DeCosta isn't here, but we're going to play Ohio Fact or Fiction coming up.
Are you allowed to? Isn't it copyrighted by him?
Oh, he'll sue me. Yeah, and by the way, he should.
Right.
So for a number of reasons,
lots
not
of reasons.
Just this.
I was just going to say.
Right? That's what I'm saying. So 312-981-7200 if you want to go. Phones are blowing up, Dave. Tell us what's going to happen Friday night.
Friday night, the Northwestern Wildcats are going to host the fourth-ranked or third-ranked, depending which poll you follow, Ohio State Buckeyes in a rematch of the Big Ten Championship game from last December in Indianapolis. won by Ohio State to claim the conference title in the Wildcats' first appearance in that championship game. This year so far, Ohio State is undefeated. And
who's their coach now?
Ryan Day, who had been on the staff under Urban Meyer and actually coached them last year when Meyer was suspended early in the season, remember, for 3 games. And obviously they haven't skipped a beat.
It's going to be a tough game.
Very tough
game. And Northwestern's had a very frustrating season so far.
They have.
So why not break out of it now?
I think it would be a great time to break out of it. I'll tell you what the things to keep in mind. Northwestern's defense is playing really well. And so is Ohio State's. There's no question. And Ohio State has the edge offensively based on what they've done to this point.
I know I'm offended by their offense.
Yes, I know you are. I know you are.
And we will have coverage starting when?
Well, we will have coverage. Because of the Blackhawks, the Wildcats will be heard Friday on AM 560.
Okay. All right.
But we will be out there in the end zone with Mark Carmen, Adam Hoge from 5 to 7 at WGNRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen for that. And also during Rose Show, we'll be dropping in and out with updates from Ryan Field.
I'm going to play Ohio Factor Fiction. Here's what you win, by the way. It's 4 tickets to see Northwestern Ohio State at Ryan Field.
By the way, the game is sold out.
Yeah.
This is a big game.
Four tickets.
Mm.
Four. Not one, not two, not three. 4 tickets. How about that? All right, let's go to the phone. Jeff, you got the first shot here. Jeff's in Lake Forest. You ready to play?
Sure.
Ohio fact or fiction. Ohio, the name Ohio, is from an Iroquois Indian word, Oyo, which means great big river. Is that a fact or fiction?
It sounds like a fact.
That is a fact. You've advanced to the second round. Don't hang up. See
ding,
what
ding,
I did
ding,
this?
Ding,
he
ding,
thought
ding.
He won. I just invented a second
I know.
Round.
Yeah, wow. Right. That was cold.
Let's go to Jan. Jan, how are you?
I'm fine.
It's nice to talk to you, Jan. I appreciate you listening. Ohio is actually the birthplace of a major, major superhero. And that superhero is Superman. Is Superman from Ohio? Fact or fiction?
No. Fiction.
You said fiction?
Yes.
Sorry, it's incorrect. That's fact.
What?
Superman was created by Cleveland high school students Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
But he was born on Krypton.
In 1933. Perhaps you didn't know the first iteration of the character was a villain with psychic powers.
You did not say the creator of Superman. Yeah.
You said Superman. You said Superman.
And everyone knows
I'm making up this friggin' game as I go along. All right, Jan, congratulations. You've advanced to the second round. Hold on.
Ding, 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 ding.
Don't hang up, Jan. Amy's in Naperville. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing real well. A little nervous right now.
Oh, don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. As you can see, there's a great chance I'm going to screw this whole thing up anyway. Ohio has an official rock song, and that official rock song is Hang On Sloopy, Sloopy Hang On. Is that the official rock song of Ohio?
I say that's fiction.
Dave?
That's sort of a thing at Ohio Stadium at the Horseshoe during Ohio State games.
Oh, you're right.
Fact.
You're right.
What is a Sloopy?
I'm sorry, Amy. Consolation prizes for you, though. Don't hang up. What's a Sloopy?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
Good answer.
Rick's in Niles. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good for you, Rick. Well done by you. The inventor of the hot dog is from Ohio.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Harry Stevens of Niles, credited with inventing the hot dog, the baseball card, scorecard, and the drinking straw.
Rick's from Niles.
And Rick is from Niles.
You just said Harry from Niles.
Unbelievable. Harry's from Niles, and Rick's from Niles. Harry's from Niles, Ohio. Rick's from Niles, Illinois.
Unbelievable.
How about that? All right, you've advanced to the second round as well. I didn't even know there was one. Gene from Lockport and Amy from Naperville both get consolation prizes. When we come back, we'll finish Ohio Fact or Fiction is sweeping the country. in just a moment for those Ohio State Northwestern tickets. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll get the news next. We're playing Ohio Factor Fiction for Ohio State Northwestern tickets. I have now gone to the second round, and those of you who have enjoyed Ohio Factor Fiction for years on television and radio and the internet, you know that the second round always includes a random pull of a name from a hat to decide who gets to play for the ultimate grand prize. Is it going to be Jeff, Jan, or Rick?
It's going to be Jeff.
Jeff in Lake Forest. You get the first shot at a win here, Jeff.
Okay.
William Henry Harrison died in office just 1 month after his inauguration speech. Is that a fact or fiction?
I think that's fact. I think he got pneumonia from the speech.
That's exactly right. We've got a winner. Unbelievable. Are you in the William Henry Harrison family?
I'm the treasurer of the fan club.
Oh,
actually.
Fantastic.
Yeah, not related, though.
I have four tickets for you for Ohio State and Northwestern, live from Northwestern. Go to nusports.com to get tickets for Iowa, Purdue, Minnesota, all coming up. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
And hang on, Jan and Rick, hold on. We have consolation prizes for you as well. You've been listening to Ohio Factor Fiction, a game we'll never play again, on the Steve Cochran Show. Well, you know what that music means? Dave's excited.
I thought another round of Ohio Factor Fiction.
No, I've decided that game took too much out of me.
Did you retire the game already?
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Well, listen, you never know what's going to come up again. I mean, that game had a nice run. What was it, number one in America for 30 or 35 years?
No, or at least for 5 minutes.
What I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Would you like to introduce our friend here, since you're the Northwestern alum on the show?
Well, we have Daniel Bannerman here, a chef, executive chef for Levy Restaurants at Northwestern Athletics. So he's the man in charge of all the food that the sellout crowd at Ryan Field on Friday night for the Northwestern Ohio State game will be partaking in.
And welcome. Thank you. Oh, let me get your microphone on. That might be helpful. Welcome, sir. How long have you been doing the food thing?
On campus. I've been on campus for 4 years. Been cooking for many, many years now.
What got you into it?
I was serving tables in college, and then decided I wanted to cook one summer, and there you go. Hotels, yeah. Restaurants, and yeah.
All right, so you're in charge of making sure everybody who comes to these games is happy.
Sure.
How much freedom do you get to come up with stuff?
A good amount. I mean, we've collaborated in the off season with some new offerings this year. It's our second season, right? Levy on campus. So we've come up with some exciting new items and locations. So
what did you put in front of me over here?
So in front of you, you have this will be famous probably. It's a breaded steak, Chicago style sandwich, Milanese style breaded steak, and it's got jardinera, mozzarella, provolone cheese.
That's a home run.
Yeah.
And what about these nachos?
So the nachos is just a play on a traditional nacho, but we're going with the, we'll call them purple tortilla chips there, with a white queso, and it's a guajillo orange chicken. So
All right, so I'm going to go ahead just to make sure this stuff is safe for the fans.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and try this while you do follow-ups.
Really? I thought you were going to go the other way. I thought you wanted me to taste so you could... Okay.
Play this right. I'll tell you what. If you ask a good question, you get nachos.
Okay. Fine. So, how many fans?
Is it grumbling at all?
How many fans are you serving?
In Ryan Field, there's over 45,000.
47,000.
Oh, and what kind of staff do you need to do this? This is an incredible operation.
A lot of staff. So the good thing about Levy is we're a Chicago-based company, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of resources in our backyard. So we'll pull talent from Cubs and Sox and Arlington and so on and so forth. So,
I mean, I don't think people understand the challenge of producing food at that grand of a scale. I mean,
for 40,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's recipes have to be adjusted. It's incredibly difficult to keep the standards high.
Yeah, and adding the location, what you're sampling there.
I'd like to be a part of this, but I'm eating.
Sure, yeah, what you're sampling there with the nachos, as we hear you cracking away over there, is actually located in our end zone. So that will be open 3 hours to kick this Friday. 4:30. So come out, have a drink, have some snacks there, and then we also have the new location, which is in the south end zone food court, the Chi-Town Kitchen. So it's challenging, but we're taking on the challenge and we're ready to go.
So the end zone is really a cool thing. It's as Daniel says, in the southwest corner outside the stadium on the southwest
corner. Isn't that where we are?
Field, and that's where WGN Radio will be also from 5 to 7 p.m.
Is part of the gig that you have to deliver these nachos to Dave Ennett throughout his broadcast?
For sure. Yeah, we're right on the corner. That's an easy
But we're up 9 stories, so it's not quite that simple. But you did a preview for those of us in the media a few weeks ago, right before the season started, with some of the new offerings this year. And now there was one I really liked, which was a plant-based burger.
Sure.
Right? Listen, dude. Listen, can I tell you something? As a chef, this is your worst nightmare. This is a guy who go out and graze in the median on Michigan Avenue. He loves the kale. He loves all the other stuff.
Steve, it's a movement.
Why do you assume that popular. Daniel would think I was his worst nightmare?
Daniel people want to eat wants healthier.
At a game? What's the matter with you?
They want healthy options.
Healthy options means you have healthy options that you pass by on the way to the food that you actually want to eat.
Tell me about this plant-based burger.
Please tell me. Oh, yeah, definitely fill me in.
So there's that demographic there, right? You want to fill that void, if you will. I mean, because
it's nice to make them feel like they asked.
Yeah, I mean, we do it in our clubs, we do it in our premium levels, we do it in our restaurants, right? So this plant based burger is plant based. It's a vegan patty. We do offer it with American cheese, so it's vegetarian unless you order it without the American cheese. But it's a happening thing, if you will.
One item that you're really excited about that you created.
Well, the breaded steak sandwich is awesome. That was conceptualized, obviously a Chicago famous sandwich, but one of our senior concessions managers was like, we got to do it. And I'm like, all right, let's try it out and see how it works. I mean, it's a big piece of steak, you know, breaded and deep fried, and that one's really cool. The other one you can get at the Wildcats Grill is a piri piri style chicken.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
It's the piri piri sauce that we put in with Greek yogurt. On a grilled flatbread naan. So it's a really popular, pretty cool, something you don't see too often.
See, I would eat that too, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one?
The peri peri chicken on the pawn sandwich.
Right, but then you'd feel terrible about yourself for days on end.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be okay with that. That sounds
great.
We
tone it down a little bit. It's not too, yeah.
Not too spicy.
What's something you tried that was a massive failure and you thank God every night that it didn't make the menu? Nothing is the answer to that.
You think about it, right? You want to be able to execute it. So before you even try it, you think about, well, can we do this or not? Sure.
Sure.
No. Okay. Well, we won't go there yet, but we'll keep plugging away and working on some new things. So.
And in regards to what you do the most of, what's the most massive buy-in of, you know, a particular food thing? I mean, hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever.
Hot dogs, obviously, in bottled water. But
the classics.
Of course. Some of the new items at the Chi-Town Kitchen. In the South End Zone food court would be the we do a boneless wing. Actually, we feature some of Jake Melnick's sauces.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah, they have great wings.
We do sauce and their traditional buffalo, which is awesome.
How is it that you guys at Levy aren't all 400 pounds?
Some of us maybe. I don't know.
There's a lot of running around and sweating on that when you're cooking on the line.
What happened to the era of the fat chef? You know, the fat chef that lives hard and dies young. It seems like the chefs are in great shape now.
I mean, we have some. We have some, you know. I mean,
they have everything. You know,
we get our steps in.
Yeah, chef is telling you they have something for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Food-wise and whatever type of chef you like, too.
Do you gear the menu differently at, say, Ryan Field than you would at another sports venue in town or at the United Center or wherever?
I think so. I think when we pull analytics from our data that we have the capability to see, what you would sell at Wrigley, and obviously just having 1 year under our belt with Ryan Field and the Welsh Ryan Arena, it's you know, your Evanston crowd's a little different than maybe what you would get at Sox or at Wrigley. So, yeah, sure, we look at all that.
I mean, the really cool thing is you used to go to a game and you'd have to think about having dinner before or having dinner after, but really the quality of food that's served now is really nice. I mean, you can get really good quality craft beer. You can get great quality.
Gee, you don't even know. When Dave and I were coming up in the 70s, when we were kids, all right, in the 60s or 50s for you, Dave, but when I was growing up in the 70s, you know what you could get at a game?
What? Peanuts?
What? No, you could get a hot dog. You get beer or you can get a hot dog. That was the entire list. That was it. Now look at what you have to offer.
Yeah, I mean, what's great about Levy, we're restaurant chefs. I mean, we have the innovation and the team, and it's a great thing about Levy, the resources that we have. I mean, we're always looking at improving things and making things taste better and how we can do that. So
I'm fascinated. Whenever I talk to chefs, do you cook at home?
Yeah, of course.
So you don't mind?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
And kids?
Two kids.
How old?
One's about to be two, and the other one's almost 6 months.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're busy.
Busy.
Yeah.
So when the kids get a little older and they're whining about it, do you want them to go, hey, Dad worked all day cooking and then came home and cooked for you?
They might do that. If they do, that's fine. I'd appreciate that. Okay. But I'll still make them happy.
Man, I'm kidding.
Cook them some dinner. Yeah.
What other new offerings do you have this year?
So at the Wildcats Grill, when you're walking in, that's on the west side of the facility. So we have a half-pound burgers that we're featuring there. So we have the Piri Piri non-flatbread chicken there.
Right.
We have the like a jumbo dog and a specialty burger that we're running over there.
What's the mixture on your patty?
The mixture?
It's none of your business. That's a personal question.
It's just all beef. I mean, it's all beef. Yeah,
love it.
It's an all beef patty.
So what?
Yeah,
what do you do during the game? Because are you more in the planning stages? Or are you cooking like a nut during the game?
No. Hopefully, if everything goes according to plan, right? You get to kind of walk your areas and make sure that we're executing how we should be. There's times when we're pushing the envelope, and running out of food or something. So prep starts today. They're actually in the kitchen getting after it today. You know,
these nachos, by the way, I didn't mean to compliment you. These nachos are
well,
tremendous.
Hand them over. What's happening?
Oh, they're
over
gone.
There? Yeah, four pounds of breaded steak.
Oh, no, the steak sandwich is here. Here, try the steak sandwich.
It is a well oiled machine. It's like an orchestra.
But it's
like
well olive oiled. Dude, this sandwich weighs about 47 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of sandwich. You're a girl. You can't eat a sandwich like this.
I can eat a. What are you talking about? I'm a competitive eater.
I got it.
Thank you.
Two hands. There you go.
There you go.
All right.
We want to say hi to an old friend of ours, Jim Memelo, who worked here for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to say who's in studio, but someone he knows is in studio.
Yes. That was well put.
Right. Yes. Rhymes with his son?
Kevin.
Yes.
His son, Kevin, who works for Levy.
Yeah. So it's a great organization. You guys rule it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So get to the, and you know, if you can't get there Friday night because you don't have tickets because it's sold out, get to any Northwestern game. You're going to eat like a king or a queen.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. That's right.
I appreciate you.
Get out there early. Yeah. Come out. Come to the end zone. Get there early.
I'm going to need about 37 orders of these for the weekend, these nachos that I'm holding up.
Cool. Yeah. Plenty of things for the kids to do. Come to Wildcat Alley. Come hang out before the game. Get in there before the, it gets crazy. It's going to be a wild Friday.
That's
night,
what I
right
do. I get the there about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
7:30 kickoff.
I'll come see you.
Please do.
Yeah, I'll stop by.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate you coming over. I know it's a lot of work this week, but anytime we can help plug you guys, it's a good thing. And it's Daniel Bannerman, executive chef at Levy for Northwestern Athletics. And you get a degree after all this is done as well?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I have to talk to them about that.
Yeah, tell them I said that.
Yeah. We will.
Because drop my name at Northwestern, you get absolutely nothing. But throw it around anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it gets me, right? So thank you all very much.
All right, and congrats on being a dad. It's the best thing you'll ever do.
Aww. Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you very much. And go Cats. We'll
there you go. Oh, look, a Go Cats.
That's our second Go Cats of the morning.
Yeah, I heard it walking in. So that's
nicely done.
Go Cats.
9:20 headlines, bottom of the hour coming up.
He's not a Bears player, but he makes the cut. How Lawrence Funk won the spot at Hallis Hall for shaving a haircut. Wednesday's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
Steve Cochran Show continues. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Orion Samuelson will join us in a few minutes as well. I really had a chance to keep up on, you know, what's happening in the Twitter world this morning, but I'll check that as soon as possible because I know everybody always finds that amusing when the most powerful man on earth says something insane. So we'll get to that coming up. And I got to tell you, I'm not getting paid to say this, not that I'd ask for any money, but man, your state of North Carolina sure is beautiful.
Certain parts.
The part you're from, not so much?
Well, I mean, certain parts.
I spent the weekend in Pinehurst with friends from high school. I had a little golf weekend,
yes,
a little social weekend.
Yeah.
And that part of the world. Well, it's not called the Low Country. That's Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah,
but what do they call that part? The Sandhills?
No. Because you're kind of, that's still kind of in the Piedmont area. But, I left North Carolina a long time ago.
Did you ever make it to Pinehurst?
No. I don't play golf. You know I'm not a golf player.
I thought maybe you went there for fun because it's a quaint little village. It's really nice. Yeah, it's really nice. About an hour south, I guess it would be, right, of Raleigh?
Mm-hmm.
And in Raleigh, all the tech is in Raleigh.
Oh, yeah, Research Triangle Park.
Everybody's in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
Our high school friend, Terry Moore, she's been in business there forever.
Especially because it's...
I think she owns Raleigh.
Because there's NC State, there's Duke, Chapel Hill, all the schools, and it creates this... tech center.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of development going on there all the time.
Now, let's turn this over to the rest of the North Carolina news, and that is I spent part of the weekend with your mom.
Okay.
And we had a good time.
Was she mad that I haven't called?
Yeah, a little bit. She loves the Target. She wants to go to Target every 15 minutes. I don't know what happened
there. She does love the Target.
But you said a while ago that you were going to have your mom come visit us.
Yes.
And we love moms on this show.
But you've been gone. You've been gone. You're traveling. You've barely been here.
My traveling, as far as I know, and believe me, I don't have a lot of control over it. But as far as I know, traveling is done for a while.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. Then I'm going to, yeah, and then she'll come up. But you know, it's going to be hilarious because I have no idea what, you never know what she's going to say.
But everybody she's like wants you. To
she's
meet
another,
your mom.
She's another version of you.
She's nuts?
She has no filter, right?
Yeah, she, well, it's just, she's, it's just, a, it's a, it's a, it's an Asian American, it's a Korean American woman with a Southern accent and still has a Korean accent.
How do we not want that on the show?
So it's going to confuse the listeners. I mean, I've been in Chicago for 13 years now, so I mean, I never plan to go back to North Carolina if I can help it.
Well, but you come
from, I love Chicago.
You
so.
Come from a rural part of North Carolina,
right?
Not the Charlotte, Raleigh
about
experience.
An hour and a half northwest of Charlotte, and of course, everyone hears about Asheville and how beautiful that is, and that you know the Blue Ridge Mountains and all of that. And it's great. It's great. I'm glad everyone enjoys it. But you know what? It wasn't enjoyable for me growing up.
Right, which is why you left. You remember that John Denver song, right, Dave? Almost Heaven, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
What's the other song? You Can't Go Home Again? Is there a song like that?
Wow. Really? Anyway, we had a great time in North Carolina, and I highly recommend it to be put on your travel plans.
Yes, to visit.
And the other part of this, and I talked about this earlier, and you know, maybe it's because, you know, you get older, you start to realize what matters, right?
You're getting soft.
That's
really
what Dave,
sweet.
Dave accused me of being soft earlier.
Yeah, you were crying earlier.
I wasn't crying.
Yes, you were.
Well, I cry every day.
And I wasn't accusing you of being soft. I was just saying you were sort of, I don't know, wistful.
He was being sentimental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are people surprised when I'm nice?
Oh, I don't know.
Here's the reason. Getting together with the two guys, the two cousins I grew up with.
Yes.
And my best friend from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and our friend Terry Moore, this other woman from high school, who happens to live down there, and just talking about stuff that meant a lot to us, our period of time, our high school time.
Oh, yeah.
It was nothing but fun. So we all, my point to the story is we all do this. We all say, oh, we ought to get together. Oh, I should get together with this person or that person. Don't ought to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ought to it. Time runs out. Even, get after it.
I would say, even for me, I wish I could see my friends more. I mean, your friends are the most... I mean, a good friend, nothing beats a good friend.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, don't listen to me. Listen to me about this.
I'm what? Listening.
We'll get the headlines here, then Big O, and much more show to do before Bill and Wendy at 10. Time now for Don Kleppen to fill in for Steve Grzanich one more time.
Well, I got my own plane. The fuel's rather smelly. Runs of corn on the cob, soybeans and pork belly. I'm a legend on GM, both the radio and telly. I'm Orion Singleton.
Big O joins us again. Big O, I'm all about the North Carolina Chamber of Commerce, whatever. What would it be if you're promoting a state?
It's like you're from the Office of Tourism.
Office of Tourism, that's it. What do they grow in North Carolina?
Well, they grow tobacco. They are the second biggest pork-producing state in the country.
Oh, I like
of
pork.
Of course, number one. But North Carolina is number two, and then they have corn, soybeans, crops like that. But
I just forgot how much I like Southern food. If I had stayed there, I'd weigh 300 pounds by the weekend.
Did you have collard greens?
I mean, this coming weekend.
Oh, did you have collard greens?
No, not that
biscuits
kind of food.
Biscuits and gravy?
Yes.
I love biscuits and gravy.
You know, Big O, they could take the biscuits from the South and drop them in war zones, and there'd be peace within 20 minutes.
Chicken and dumplings?
I think you're right. Yeah.
It's tremendous.
But no, and of course, Max Armstrong now lives in North Carolina, not too far from Raleigh.
Yeah.
And he went out there following kids and grandkids, and He flies in every week to do our television show at Aurora, where we produce that show. But, yeah, he loves it there. And, of course, there is a lot of research, the research triangle, which is what they call it. And that was home to many of the agricultural companies that developed crop protection products and other products as well. So, and I guess they have a good beach. He doesn't talk about the beach because I don't think he spends much time there. But, yeah, it's a very good state. And Pinehurst is absolutely beautiful. I have friends who have moved there to retire, so they like it.
Yeah, and, you know, I grew up in a little town. And you forget how nice little towns are. By the way, I'm not saying I could live in one again. But you forget how nice little towns are because everybody knows everybody. You know, I walk
into that's true.
I walk into the corner market.
And when a baby is born, some man leaves town.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. One out, one in. Yeah, but I walked into a little corner market, and the guy behind the counter, he was talking to me for 20 minutes. I'm thinking in my head, finally, I'm going to have to leave eventually, but he was just talking. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. So what you in town for? Well, it wasn't quite that hicky, but you know what I mean? It's just there's a friendliness in the South that doesn't exist in other places.
Well, our farm was next to a town of 527 people. And I think today, since they have the flood that nearly wiped it out last August, I think they're probably down to about 400 people. But, yeah, something about a town where everybody knows everybody.
Every week when we talk to you, we look for an update on how the farmers are doing in this wacky weather year that we've had. What's the update?
Well, did you see any of the video that came out of North Dakota after the weekend? They had a full-fledged winter blizzard that dumped 2-3 feet of snow and drifts as deep as 7 feet. So that's going to be a problem because a lot of crops are still unharvested, and that means you have to roll the combines through snow, hoping that the snow will melt, and it probably will, but it just adds another frustration to an already very frustrating year for agricultural producers. Wet spring, way too much rain, and now in the fall, here we come with a lot more rain and snow. And, you know, I just don't understand why farmers keep putting up with markets and politics and weather and all of the other things they do, but thank God they do, because we'd all go hungry if they didn't keep meeting those challenges.
Are we looking at a good week in the market, a bad week, or we don't know?
Pretty good week. And again, I'm still longing for the day when I can do a farm report without mentioning China. But they did get optimism from phase one of the trade deal with China. And it looks now like there'll probably be a meeting in November at a gathering in Chile that'll bring presidents and premiers and prime ministers of various countries along the Pacific Rim in for a meeting. And the hope now is that they'll have all the details on phase one that was announced last Friday, that they'll have all of the details in writing and that they can proceed with phase number two. But it's taking forever.
I'm looking at the lineup for the Democrats debate tonight. And there's 12 people on stage. How you can make head or tail out of what 12 people are saying in a format like that is crazy. But they haven't figured it out. They'll figure it out whenever they figure it out. We know that Trump doesn't know anything about farming. However, he was smart enough to pick somebody who does. So how is Sonny Perdue being perceived after, what, about a year and a half now as the charge of...
I would say that. He got some flack at World Dairy Expo in Madison. Because of a comment that he made that unfortunately is quite true, that in the U.S. farming, big farms get bigger and little farms kind of disappear. Because, you know, the family farm that I grew up on, 200 acres, 30 milk cows, no way that you could make a living to support a family with that kind of a setup today. And then, of course, the cost of equipment and the cost of everything else it takes to produce food today keeps going up. So it's very difficult for young people to get involved in agriculture if they don't have parents with the property and they just pass it on to them. But he took a little flack for that. Unfortunately, it's true, not only in agriculture, but in grocery stores and in drug stores and in car dealerships. We've seen the bigger ones get bigger and the little ones kind of disappearing.
And Dave, you had a question for Big O.
I just was...
You were raising your hand. I didn't know if you had a question.
No,
you had
to go pee-pee. I wasn't, actually.
I do have a question for Dave, however.
Yes. Okay.
You know, because I watch football and I enjoy football, and why does the NFL think they have to put a ragtag band in at halftime when I want to hear about all the breakdown on the games that were played over the weekend? Because when halftime comes and the band comes on, maybe that's an age situation. I don't know.
No, I'm actually...
But I dial away. I don't know why they have to do that.
You're talking about college football.
No, I'm talking about pro football. Like last night, the Packer game. They bring some band on with funny hairdos and all.
Oh,
that
you're talking about the rock stuff. Because I'm going back to when the bands were always shown at halftime.
Yes, I am too. Yeah,
which is fine because that was always part of it. But it does seem like the NFL tries to bring in other forms of entertainment.
They're trying too hard.
And I think the game speaks for itself. If you're not a football fan, and I know they're trying to appeal to people who maybe don't care for it, but there's plenty of other entertainment options out there. And I know they want to keep the audience, but I'm with you, Big O. I mean, I'd rather hear about the game, see highlights, hear analysis, than see a band at halftime. And I'm not talking about marching bands in college. That's a whole different thing.
You know, totally different. Yep. Yes.
Me three. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Owen, in 2 months or so or 3 months that G's worked here, her knowledge of football has surpassed Annette's. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. She once in a while, she'll take a game.
As a matter of fact, I will say that whatever you hear come out of Dave Ennett's mouth Friday night, Northwestern Ohio State, has been written by G.
By G. G will be standing behind me in the booth. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I am his ghostwriter.
Oh, you know I don't make stuff up. Come on, please. All right, one more thing we need to know before you go. Anything on your mind, Big O?
Well, you know, we tend to talk trade with China, but they have a real problem. Because their pork imports in September climbed 76% from a year earlier, and beef imports came close to a monthly record. And the reason for it is pork is such a basic item on the menus of people in China. Holidays coming that are special to them, and African swine fever that we've talked about now for a year, and it continues to spread. They get new reports almost every day in China, and that has cut the pork numbers in China about 55%. And that has put the pork prices up 80% in China as they approach some of the important holidays for that country. And we just can't imagine in this country what that must be like when your basic item on the menu is not available or too expensive to buy.
Yeah, no, that's a different world, isn't it?
It really is. So that's, I get one more plug in. If you're traveling outside the United States and when you're coming back on the plane, the flight attendants hand out this card and ask you to fill it out. Answer those questions truthfully because the important question there, did you visit a farm on any of your country travels? And if you did and you say no, you could be carrying the virus of the African swine fever back into this country. We see what it has done to China. We wouldn't want that to happen in North Carolina or Iowa or any place here.
Very cool. Hey, by the way, I know that you're out, harvesting your own lower 40. At 6:40 on a Tuesday morning, but we had a young lady in for Kid of the Week this week, and I'm going to have somebody email you. As a matter of fact, Viv, make sure you email Orion the clip from this morning's Kid of the Week. This young lady is 14 years old, and she found a way to develop moss, live moss, M-O-S-S, into something you can paint with, and just a really fascinating kid. And I thought it was really cool to have someone else take an interest in agronomy, I guess it would be, right? Is that plants and lawns?
Yeah, it sounds like the U of I would be a good school for her, and they have a good agronomy department. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
So we're going to send you
one comment on your plant-based food. You know, I'm not going to eat laboratory meat in burgers or anything else. Just want the world to know it. And the question I always have for vegans is, if you don't want to eat beef, why does it have to look like beef and cook like beef and smell like beef and taste like beef? I don't understand.
Well, the other hypocrisy there, though, is when people complain about GMO products without knowing what they're talking about.
True.
And then they want concocted burgers? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Put together in a laboratory, as far as I call it, laboratory burger.
That's mad scientists. They're all dangerous looking in it.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
Bill and Wendy coming up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And we're back with more on the Steve Cochran Show after this. I actually was running back to my station.
Are you okay? You just broke the marathon record is what you just
I did. And what did you, how did you describe it off the air? What did you
say? All I saw was a blue streak, and I thought you were the Flash.
Yeah.
And in fact, you got slower, I think, just to be contrarian.
Right.
You are, such a contrarian.
You did that old man thing where you pretend to run.
Remember when Steve Austin used to run bionically? You were that,
I'm slower than the bionic guy.
Yeah.
The slow motion bionic guy.
Right.
We were talking to somebody about it. Now, my knees are bad. I know I've never complained about it. But, you know, we walked, 15, 20,000 steps a day on this little golf trip. And every 2,000 steps, I don't know if you know this, the conversion is this. Every 2,000 steps is 14 miles.
Oh, it is.
So it's a lot of walking. And on bad knees, my three friends could not have laughed harder. They go, "Hey, Grandpa! Should we get an ambulance to pick you up?"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing that Tim Conway character?
Dorf?
No.
You know, it's funny you say that.
No, the other one. Who's
Which
Mr.
One?
Mr. Tudball?
Yeah.
Yes, because there's a course called Number 2 at Pinehurst, one of the best in the world. And by the time we're walking up 18, I was Mr. Tudball.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. How are you guys?
We're good.
What's going on?
We got MJ Johnson coming on with us, Steve.
Oh, no, I'm sure that can't be true.
No, we do.
It's impossible to book MJ Johnson.
No, it says it right on our sheet, MJ Johnson.
There's a national beard and mustache competition going on, and this is going to be
November.
Freaky.
Isn't November Stash Month?
Yes.
Yeah.
But this guy is in early. I like his discipline.
Right.
He's growing already.
I've seen photos of this. Very elaborate.
Yes, it is.
I should have stopped waxing. I could have competed.
Very intricate. Like some of it looks like lattice work.
I know.
Basket weaving.
He's going to be in the studio, and I'm going to touch his beard.
Yep.
Is that code, or I mean, you're actually?
No,
you
know, I don't know if I'm allowed to, but I'm going to.
There was we had a producer here at WGN.
Scott's just gonna say that.
Yeah,
he's in it.
If you grow a beard like that, I mean, don't you kind of want it to be touched?
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah. Noticed.
This guy that used to work here was the handlebar mustache guy.
Yeah,
you know, with the twirls and stuff.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Is that attractive to
like
women?
The Red Baron? Like the Red Baron on the pizza box? Yeah.
Rutherford B. Hayes did very well with it, Steve, if you'll remember.
The ladies loved it.
Rutherford B. Hayes information when we come back on 720 WGN. About 30 seconds before the Bill and Wendy show. Stand by. They got MJ Johnson on today.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning of the action you're about to hear.
No, that's all of it.
Oh,
that's all we have. Yeah.
And their big Halloween candy preview show is coming up soon. I don't know what it's going to be, but wait till you hear their whole section on nougat. We're back tomorrow, I think. See you then.